You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Serve those around you instead of envying their status and possessions, which often causes us to look unfavorably toward others and ourselves and criticize and judge them. So I think if we look out and remember what God has done for us, we remember His promises, and then we look for opportunities to be loyal, unoffendable friends to the people around us and opportunities to actually serve them. And one of the great services we give is listening to people, is hearing their heart, okay? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and also, all these things will be added to you, okay?
Yes, and I think one of the secrets, and I'm sure you would agree, would be to be thankful for what you have.
Exactly. Yeah,
if you're having a crust of bread and you're thankful for it, it's better than having such abundance that you're having steak and lobster and complaining, oh, yeah, I'm a very wealthy individual. Here comes steak and lobster another night. Whereas the person who has an appetite and is hungry is much more appreciative. So whatever situation we find ourselves in want or in great abundance, to be thankful adds joy to the heart.
Well, one of the pictures that I used this photograph in our newsletter for the Seek the Lamb ministry just a few days ago, is me sitting on the bank of the Coco River. It was 1986. I'm on the Honduran side of the river. It was a rainy day. We had just traveled through the swamp from Turalaya, Alligator Springs. We walked the 7 miles through the mud. We got over to Utlamata, and my friend Trano's wife walked up to me, and I'm sitting down. I'm exhausted, and I'm wet, and she hands me this bowl of white rice, and it was hot, and it was steaming, and I looked at this rice, and she gave me a spoon, and I put that first bite in my mouth. I had never tasted anything better. And I'm digging into this, and somebody came up and took a picture of me, and I'm looking this way. But it was one of the most tastiest meals I had in my entire life.
Plain white rice. Listen, you and I have had parallel lives. Remember we were talking about our wives the other day? Listen to this. So I was poor, dirt poor, with my older brother. I was like 15. It was the year of Woodstock. He's 19. We're in Baltimore helping an old friend get out of his apartment. He lost his job. We had no money. We're literally starving. And this lady downstairs and her boyfriend invite us into their apartment. And what did they give us? A little bowl of hot white rice with mushrooms on top. To this day, I go into a Chinese restaurant, I get white rice with mushrooms, and it tastes better than steak and lobster because of the Thanksgiving. I'd never forget being hungry.
Yeah. So,
is that something? We have parallel situations, both with white rice.
Yeah. I left Maui in 1984 in November. I had $200 in my Bank of Hawaii account. I was running a photography business. We had closed our one location in Lahaina. We were going to sign a lease in December for the new tropical plantation in Waikapu. I went on a 2-week trip because I had about a month off, and I got stuck there for a year and a half because we were delivering relief supplies to this remote corner of Honduras, the Coco River, where 60,000 refugees had fled from Nicaragua. The Sandinistas from 104 villages there in 1981 and 82. So it was a horrible refugee situation. People were just living out in the swamps. They were skinny people. There was a high infant mortality rate. It was kids that did not have school. It was a dastardly situation. We brought a container of food, clothing, medicine, shoes, but it took us 6 months to get our cargo actually out to this remote area because there's no roads out there. So we had to fly everything out. The Lord provided. A friend flew his twin-engine Seneca down and for 6 months made flights. He was an Eastern Airline pilot, and he paid for the gas. It was incredible what God was doing. But I made it back to Maui in May of 86. I had $700 in my Bank of Hawaii account. People had just randomly donated money to me through our church,
No.
And since then, Rhett, I have not had a job that has paid me a salary. I've been a missionary supported by friends, family, and I don't really ask people for things, but God has been just so good to provide for me. And I just want to encourage anybody who's listening who finds themselves in some sort of financial strait right now, you know, God knows what you need, and He will provide for you. Seek Him, walk with Him, experience His presence. He might give you opportunities for economic opportunities that you never thought about. I encourage you to look around and see God is a great provider, and that's my testimony.
And I will mention this while we're on the air. You're also listening, people are listening to this on WCNO. Please, once in a while, we benefit not a penny from this, but if you'd support WCNO, a wonderful small group of people run it, and they're not paid in abundance, believe me. So to keep it on the air, and it takes engineers and different people, so if you listen to WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial, which is 100,000 watts and goes up and down the coast, maybe you might consider being a sponsor of them. Mike and I benefit not at all from that, but do something good for them, if you would. Thank you.
Yeah. So now we're coming to Chapter 7, and the first line in Chapter 7 is, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Now, that word judge is the word krino. It means to judge in an absolute sense here in Chapter 7, verse 1. But some have understood this verse to mean that we're never to evaluate another's behavior or words. And honestly, this ignores the entire context of the Bible, because there's many passages that tell us that those disciples, especially that God has given us, we are to be their friends, we are to evaluate their walk, and we are to be their counselors and their helpers. I mean, in Matthew 8, Jesus said, if another believer sins against you, go privately, point out the offense. And if the person listens and confesses, you've won him back, but if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others, go back again, so everything will be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person refuses to listen, take your case to the church. If he won't accept the church's decision, treat him as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector, all right? So there's those disciples, the people that were in a relationship, when there are offenses and things happen, when they have stepped off the path, who else is going to help them get back on the path but those that they have relationship with and have confidence in? So according to Jesus, we're to evaluate the behavior of those given to our care, and He instructs us how we're to confront them and those who have strayed off the path, and how we're to do our best to bring them back in. So this is the principle that we should be discerning regarding the attitudes and actions of the people around us. So here's this passage. It's 12 verses, and they are joined together because verse 12 says pretty much the same thing as verse 1. Do not judge so you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at that speck in your brother's eye and do not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? So the focus now seems to be not on the other person, Rhett, but what Jesus is talking about is about us, about the logs in our eye. You hypocrite, verse 5, take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly and take the speck out of your brother's eye. But be careful, verse 6, do not give what is holy to dogs, do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. What man is there among you who, when his son asks him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or ask for a fish, he'll give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. So as we see the context here, and verse 12 basically repeating verse 1, we understand that this is one topic. It's not to be taken and broken up as often it has been. But what is this about? It's how we are to judge others and to work out our own issues ourselves. Okay? Now, here's the reality, Rhett. We all have issues and we all have trigger points that God is working on. Would you agree with that?
Well, for certain.
Do you have issues? I got issues, okay?
I got issues.
I got issues. Trigger points, okay? There are things that happen that suddenly emotions rise up in me, and it causes me to step out of my godly Christ-like character and return to my old normal Mike-like character. Would you agree with that, brother?
I will not judge you, but I judge myself the same way, yes.
Okay. So we are to be aware that we have issues and trigger points that God's working on. Okay, we have to remember that when we notice and react to the issues of those close to us. Because we are to actively deal with our own issues first, and as we do that, we are going to gain understanding so that we can help others through theirs. Now, Jesus gives us a caveat. He says, be careful to offer unsolicited advice to those who are not ready or willing to receive it, as not only will they reject your counsel, but sometimes they will turn and attack you. Now, has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me where I've noticed something going on in a brother. Mm. I've pointed it out to him, but he wasn't ready to receive that. He took offense. He became defensive, and then he started pointing out all of my character flaws, which I had to agree with him, and I do. Okay, but God wants us to ask him for insight. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. He wants us to ask him for insight on our own issues.
Yeah, keeping our own side of the street clean. I had a conflict with somebody recently, a businessman, and I had gotten a little, I took umbrage, and my tone had changed a wee bit. So anyway, I ended up sending him a text apologizing for my tone. Anger is usually hurt or fear talking. And whether he accepts that or not is not my business. I have taken care of my side of the street by asking forgiveness. I'm sorry.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
The secret place where I see your face.